No, we're not. For two reasons.
There's no peace treaty yet.
Number two,
there's no two witnesses here yet. Revelation chapter 11 talks of two witnesses preaching Christ for 3.5 years. I could add number three, no temple in Jerusalem yet. All right, now back to heaven, verse 3. Now when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. And another horse went out, fiery red. And it was granted to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth. So that, look what happens when you take it away. Notice the words, so that. It was granted to him that sat on it, or was granted to him that rode in it, to take peace from the earth, so that they might kill each other. And there was given to him a great sword. So the first rider represents conquest, or the conqueror. The second one, war. Handout says conflict on earth. Notice with this rider that he takes peace from the earth. Look what happens to people when you take away their peace. Hear me, church. Look at what happens to a country or a world or a nation when you take their peace away. What do you got? War. And people kill each other. You know, I'm so grateful that this text does not apply to you and I. Well, at least it doesn't apply to me. I don't know about you. We can write a big N-A next to this. Because Jesus Christ is the great dispenser of peace. It says in John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isaiah wrote, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have what the Bible calls the peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, you've got something that all these others don't have. You've got peace with God. Governments can't take it. Politicians can't tax it. It's yours. There's only one thing you can do with it. You know what that is? Let someone steal it from you. Let someone steal it from you. When you don't have peace, you've got war. How are you doing today on your peace? You should be in possession of an inner peace that passes all understanding. A peace that says, bring it on. Do you have that kind of peace? Have you misplaced yours? Have you misplaced yours? I encourage you to go get it back. If you've lost your peace, go get it back. It's yours. Moths and rust can't take it from you, nor can a government. How do I get it back? Listen to this psalm. Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Love thy law. What's the equivalent of that today? Love in this book. This is the law of God for us today. It's the word of God. And Jesus Christ is the word of God, the living word. Remember this book. Remember, the word of God is living and active. Acts 4:12, sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is living. If you've lost your peace, go back into this book and find it. How do you do that? When you read texts like, we are more than conquerors through him that saved us. Something happens when you read that. Because the book's alive. Anyone here ever read a scripture more than once? And it blessed you the second time? Anyone here read something 40 years later after the first time you read it? And you got blessed the 40th year? Or the 30th year? Or the 80th year? Why? Because the book's alive. If you've lost your peace, go here to this book. There's 4,430 promises in the Word of God. How about, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you read that and meditate on it and think on it and receive that to yourself, you've got the peace that passes all understanding. Everyone with me? If you've lost it, I encourage you to get it back. This is what happens with a bunch of unbelievers that don't have any peace. Or just turn on CNN. And you'll see unbelievers that don't have any peace. Now, I encourage everyone in this church to come back when we're up to chapter 11 in this book. All right? Buy an airplane ticket and come back. When you get to the time when you see that there's no rain falls during the days of their prophecy, that's 1,260 days on a Hebrew calendar of 360 days, is no rain for 3.5 years. You think you're mad because Donald Trump is president? Wait until there's no water for 3.5 years. And then this man on a white horse or the man in a white limo is going to have a trunk full of this. Zephyr Hills. And all you got to do is one little thing. You take a mark right here, or right here, and you have all water you want. That's all you got to do. You don't think people would do that, huh? Satan says, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. You take your blessing away from this man, and he'll spit in your eye. To use the Esposito paraphrase, all right, Satan said he'll curse you to your face. If you want me to be technical, peace. Those in possession of peace of Christ declare like Polycarp did, bring forth what thou will. 86 years old, they told him, bow down a knee and worship Caesar. And he said, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. I ain't bowing the knee to anyone other than Jesus Christ. Are you there? Are you there? John 12:25, those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life will keep it unto life eternal. That's what Jesus said. This is why he makes your life difficult. Did you know that? Jesus makes your life difficult. So when they come and ask you, when they break down your door, are there any Christians? You say, here I am. Bring forth what thou wilt. Okay, let's move on here. Back to the text. Now when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living being say, come, and behold a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. All right, the third rider is in a black limo. He's dispatched from heaven. They shut the door. What do they give this guy before he goes? They give him some scales. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living beings saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. What's a denarius? It's a day's wage. A quart of wheat. It's a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread. And 3 quarts of barley. That's a cheaper bread. Like the boy that came to Jesus with the barley loaves. That's a cheap man's food. For poor people. 3 quarts of barley. Notice you get more of it. 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not harm the oil and the wine. All right, third rider represents famine. A denarius for a day's wage. Remember this, I preached this before, I say it again. In desperate times, people will do desperate things. Listen to this text here. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 25. It says, now there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and a fourth of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord doesn't help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press? Then the king said, what's troubling you? And she said, this woman over here said to me, give me your son so that we can eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat your son. So we boiled my son and ate him. Would you do this? Guess it depends maybe how bad your kids are, huh? You wouldn't boil them though, right? In desperate times, people will do desperate things. This is what happens with this writer here, no matter what he's on. Famine. No rain. Revelation 11, 7 and 8 says, no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. Back to this story here. We boiled my son and ate him. So I said to her the next day, give us your son so that we could eat him. But she's hidden her. You would have think you would have done lost your appetite the next day, wouldn't you? How about some salad or something the next day? I think the next day would be a good time to start a fast. What do you think? You're hungry after this? So now it went to happen. When the king heard the words of this woman, he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. And then he said, God, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. So again, hear me here. This end times famine is going to inspire people to take the mark in order to eat. Because in desperate times, people do desperate things. Now, as for the do not harm the oil and the wine, simply, this is the grace of God. The grace of God making provision not to harm these staples, oil and wine. Okay, next up, the last horseman, last rider. So when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living being say, come, and behold, a pale horse. And him who sat on it was named Death. Huh, if Death rides a horse. Wasn't that a movie? I heard the voice of the fourth living being say, come, behold, a pale horse. And he who sat on it was named Death. And Hades was following him. And authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with death and by the wild beasts of the earth. All right, the fourth rider is Death. And instead of Death rides a horse, let's say Death rides a limo. And this limo is pulling a trailer on the back. Hell. Hades. You see that text there? Hades was following him like a faithful dog. Hades was following him. Or hell. Some translations say hell. Hell personified. Hell personified here seems to clean up after this rider and sweeps away everyone that he kills. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never satisfied. It seems from this text, the writer called Death will be responsible for the deaths of 25% of everyone on the earth. But this is not the future of the Church of Jesus Christ. God has protected his people in the past when the wrath of God has been poured out on an evil world. He even said, in that day, This is God speaking. I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies will be there, so that you may know that I am the Lord. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. It's Exodus 8:22. God will not, neither is it part of his plan, to treat you the same way he's going to treat unbelievers in the tribulation. Christians for years have argued over whether or not there is a rapture or not of the church, in which the people of God will be removed from the earth before all the tribulation starts. I don't know. As well as I know the word of God, and I hope that my church family here will grant to me at least this one point, that I am somewhat knowledgeable of the word. Everyone believes that, I hope. This is a mystery that I do not have the answer to. I cannot tell you how long the church is going to be here. But this I do know because it's written in the Word. And that is, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, that was. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Also, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. All right, this is the third proof. Even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. God has not appointed you to wrath, people. He's appointed you to salvation. God poured out his wrath on his Son to deliver you from it. You are not subject to the wrath of... Here's proof number four, in case three's not enough for you. Revelation 3:10, and we're done. The Lord Jesus says this. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. So I, Pastor Paul, do hereby guarantee you, according to the word of God, you will not go through the hour of trial that's going to fall upon all unbelievers at the end of the age. I guarantee it. That's not for you. However, the $64,000 question is this. How long is an hour? How long is an hour according to God? Now, we'll see you back next week in our exciting study here as we pick it up with the fifth seal. And it says, I see under the altar the souls of those that were slain on account of the word of God. And what do you know? At the end of the age, people are going to be intolerant of the word of God and intolerant of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. I did not make it.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1 right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, so in love with you. The simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Jesus, yes, I'll stand. And I'll stand. with you. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Jesus, I am so in love with you. So I love you.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Christ the Lord.